Hello, I am Sujin. I'm going to read a sermon reading, chapter 4, verse 10 to 27. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the paths of wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. The path of righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like a deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give a careful thought to the path for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to right or the left. Keep your foot from evil.
Well, if I haven't met you, my name's Pete Stacey, and I hope I get to meet you over a coffee afterwards. Today we're continuing in our series in the book of Proverbs as we explore the beauty of wisdom. And one of the things I love about wisdom is that it's not something we're born with or a privilege that we inherit or a commodity we can buy. It's not something that is more natural or common in Jews or Gentiles or male or female or young or old or in certain personality types or even those with a high IQ. Rather, it is something that God offers to all. His gift to those who ask. And as we'll see today, it's something that increases with obedience to God. Wisdom grows by 1,000 daily decisions to obey God and stay on his path of righteousness. And that's our focus today, the path of righteousness. Nearly 350 years ago, one of my own ancestors wrote a book on this very topic, written by a man who'd been imprisoned for preaching the good news about Jesus. The book quickly became more famous than the man. And in fact, for well over 200 years, it was the most widely read and translated, over 200 languages, and printed book in the world, apart from the Bible itself. The book was, of course, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Has anyone read it? Oh, that's good. I was hoping there'd be quite a few hands. It's an allegory of the Christian life where people and places represent all kinds of trials and temptations as he navigates his way on the path of righteousness from the city of destruction to the celestial city. He faces places like the Slough of Despond. Don't you like that one? And Vanity Fair and Doubting Castle. And he encounters colourful enemies like Mr. Worldly Wise Man and Lord Hategood and Mrs. Inconsiderate. And he finds strength in friends such as Hopeful and Faithful and Watchful. It's a great read. I commend it to you. I've just downloaded it on Audible so I can kind of go to sleep to it. And for centuries, I mean, this book has been used by God to strengthen the resolve of countless believers to stay on the path of righteousness. But you know what? Today, we're not going to go to the number two bestseller for all those years. We're going to go to the number one bestseller since the printing press began. And that is God's Word, the Bible. to help us learn more about this path of righteousness. So let's pray as we do that. Dear Father, please help us not just understand your word and marvel at your wisdom, but have our lives enriched in every way by doing what it says, in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen. Well, this is now our third week in the series. And what we're trying to do in these first few weeks is lay a foundation for a biblical approach to wisdom. After this, we're going to be diving into all sorts of topics and issues, practical parts of life. So it's really vital that we remember these opening weeks. It's our foundation. Week one was fear the Lord. Wisdom comes from being in a right relationship with God, our Maker, who made everything according to his great, wonderful, wise design. And we can only do that through Jesus. Now, if I had to pick out a theme verse from that week, it'd be this one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Last week could be summed up as trust the Lord. Wisdom comes from delighting in God's way. He knows what's best for our lives better than what we know ourselves. And we've been singing this theme verse this morning already. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. I won't sing it to you again now. Let's just keep moving on because we're going to sing it as a round next week. And so today our focus is obey the Lord. Wisdom comes from consistently choosing to actually put into practice and walk the path of righteousness instead of evil. It's not enough just to recognize what God's will is in any given situation. We need to do it. It means making wise choices over and over and over again. When it's easy and when it's hard. When it's popular and when it's not. And I've found it's often not. If I had to pick a verse from today's reading to sum this up, here it is, right near the end there. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. It's action, isn't it? Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Well, there's so much wisdom regarding the path of righteousness scattered throughout the book of Proverbs and indeed the whole Bible. But there's plenty to get us started right here in chapter 4. So please keep your Bible open and let's look at it together. After setting the context, there's three main points that we see here. Number one, wisdom requires action. We can't just think about it. We've got to put it into practice. Number two, action reinforces whatever direction we step into. And thirdly, our direction involves all of life, every part of life. Let's look at it together. Verse 10, if you've got it open there, verse 10 reminds us of the context. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. This is the instruction of a father to his son, passing on wisdom for life that he heard from his own father. Back in verse 3, we didn't read it, but here it is on the screen. He says, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother, then he taught me. So what we get in the book of Proverbs is a picture of accumulated wisdom, tried and tested over generations of people who've set out to live wisely in God's ways. People who sometimes learn from the harsh teacher of consequences when they chose bad, wrong, wicked ways. Even a casual look at the life of Solomon and David shows that to be true. So it's worth reflecting on the wisdom we learned from our own parents. And for those of us who are parents, prayerfully considering the path we are modelling and teaching and passing on to our children. Are we proactive in this process of teaching our children to be wise? We often work hard at helping our children succeed in all kinds of ways in the world, you know, to run well in this race of life, but sometimes overlook the necessity and the value of teaching wisdom. We get so invested in the details of the present moment, school, sport, parties, singing, dancing, surf club, gymnastics, music lessons. The list of options is endless, isn't it? Kind of makes you feel tired as a parent sometimes, doesn't it? But we can neglect the bigger picture. of where all these activities might be taking us. Wisdom helps us with this. Where is our path leading? Where is the path, the trajectory that we're setting our young ones on? Where's it going? Wisdom helps us identify the pitfalls and dangers along the path. Wisdom ensures that we are training the heart, not just the mind and the body. Look at the fruit of wisdom in the first few verses of our passage here. Long life, straight paths, and verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. It's a metaphor of productive movement in a fruitful direction. Wisdom, it doesn't isolate us from other people. Rather, it helps us navigate real life in the midst of real people without unnecessary stumbling as we go on our way. Now, wisdom's not an optional extra for our journey. We've already been urged to listen and accept it in the first couple of verses. In fact, it's so crucial that now the wise father says, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. They're strong words, aren't they? Hold on to wisdom like you hold on to life itself. In my early 20s, I spent a couple of weeks crewing on a tall ship. I remember heading from Harvey Bay back south towards Brisbane, straight into a southerly buster. Massive storm swell. One night I was near the top of the foremast, furling the topgallant in the early hours of the morning. One moment I'm looking down, I see the timber deck of the ship. The next moment I look down and all I can see is the raging, menacing black waves of the Pacific Ocean. Friends, I was holding on for dear life. Like my life depended on it, because it did. That's the picture that the Father gives the Son. We are to hold on to wisdom like life itself. This verse urges us to guard it well. Not because it's going to run away, not because it's going to get stolen from us, but because our sinful hearts will so easily drift away from it. Another time I remember being in a sailing boat in the midst of a storm, and our anchor did not hold, and we were blown onto the sandbars of a small island. Friends, if we do not anchor our lives to God's wisdom, our lives will be blown here and there by all kinds of things. Guard it well. Next, we are warned what not to do. Verse 14, do not set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. You see, if you never enter it, the path of the wicked, you never have to fix up the mess. Sadly, we all struggle with sin, don't we? So that's not quite our experience. So note the progression of danger in the second verse there. Avoid it, but if you fail to avoid it, then don't travel on it. But if you do begin to travel on it, such a slippery slope, turn from it. And don't just turn, get away from the danger. Go on your way. It's a great picture of repentance, isn't it? And your way there doesn't mean do whatever you feel like. No, it means go back to God and the way he has shown you to live. That's what's wise. It's a wonderful picture of repentance. Turning from the sinful path, turning back to God. It's one of the hallmark characteristics of every wise person, of every Christian person. It's one of the ways you know the Holy Spirit is living in your heart. If you keep turning back to God, recognizing your sin, confessing it to him, and asking him to clean your heart and strengthen you to obey. And that's something that the Christian does again and again and again and again. One of the traps of the devil is to hide the consequences of sin from us and to make wrong choices look appealing and beneficial and even wise. Isn't that exactly what happened in the very first temptation recorded for us in the Garden of Eden? After one brief conversation with the devil, we are told, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Good, pleasing, desirable, even wise. Lies from the pit of hell. Friends, when God holds out his wisdom and warns that any other option will only hurt us and ruin our lives, he does so, he says so, for our good. Hold on to it. And verse 16 and 17, lift the curtain on the path of the wicked so we can see what's going on. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They're robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. You see, the wise person loses sleep when they've done something evil or harmed someone. Not so the wicked. They continue in evil and harm until such deeds are as natural as food and drink. Friends, is that the direction you want your life to go? Is that, if you're a parent, is that the direction you want your children's life to go? Well, it begins with a single step and another step and another step down the wrong path. We've all set foot on the wrong path, every single one of us. We all have evil thoughts, and sometimes we do harm to others. And if that's you today, be wise. And do what all Christians do by the strength of the Holy Spirit. And repent. Turn back to God. Confess it. Ask him to clean your heart and help you to obey. Because wisdom requires action. It's 1,000 daily decisions to walk on and stay on God's path of righteousness and to choose not to enter that path of evil. Next, we see that our actions reinforce our direction. Verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Here's one of the beautiful consequences of obedience. The more you travel down the path of righteousness, the brighter it gets. Because you see reality more clearly in the light of God's truth and God's wisdom. Wisdom grows as we obey. Every step of obedience, we are growing in godly wisdom. It's a beautiful picture. It's no surprise that Jesus, in whom God's wisdom is found in all its fullness, said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Of course, this implies that to reject God's wisdom in Christ results in darkness. And that's exactly what we see in the next verse in Proverbs 4. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Note the irony there. These are the very ones who wanted to make others stumble. And now they're enveloped in such deep darkness of heart and mind that they stumble and they don't even know why. It's a picture of utter confusion and lostness. Because every step in whatever path, whether it's down the path of evil or down the path of righteousness, reinforces that direction in our lives. We need to be wise and listen to God and respond to him. That's why verse 23 of chapter 4 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This phenomenon of human actions reinforcing our direction has long been observed in behavioral science. in psychology and more recently in neurological connections in the brain. It's really fascinating. I've been reading up on neuroplasticity this week. It's phenomenal. Whether it's forming a new habit or learning a new skill or dabbling in sin, every step you take in whichever direction you go, whatever way you go, every step you take reinforces that direction in life. So friends, reject sin and evil and the lies of the devil. Listen to God and follow his good path. That's why these final verses are so important. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. And the more I've thought about it, the more I realize just how countercultural these verses are. We're not naturally a reflective culture. The pace is too fast to stop and consider the value of all that we do. But gee, that'd be worth doing, wouldn't it? Our culture is full of distractions. We so easily do turn to the right or the left, away from God's path of wisdom and righteousness. I love the title of Eugene Peterson's book about the Christian life. He called it A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It captures it so well. That's how we grow in wisdom, a long obedience in the same direction on God's path. So every action we choose reinforces our direction in life. And lastly, our direction, it involves all of life. And as we'll see in the coming weeks as we dive into all these topics, the direction we choose has consequences that impact every part of our lives. But that's very true, but that's not what this is talking about. The point here is different. What we see in these final verses is that when we genuinely choose a direction, that choice means giving every part of our lives to it. Look at all the body parts mentioned in these final verses. Look at that. Ears, eyes, heart, whole body, mouth, lips, feet, even our thoughts get a mention. The point is that choosing wisdom means aligning every part of our whole being with that direction, with that path. There's no holding back. There's no hedging our bets. There's no dividing between heart and mind and body and soul. We can't choose one direction with our heart and go a different direction with our words and our actions. It makes no sense. I mean, imagine if Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and do whatever you like with your body and mind. It's ridiculous. It's laughable. It makes no sense. But I think this is really important because among Christians, and I've observed it in my own life, we can be full of good intentions and say we believe all sorts of important things, but fall short of action. Today's passage challenges that self-deception head on. True wisdom requires action where our whole being is aligned and heading in the same course. Sydney Harbour Hobart Yacht Race. I love seeing, Boxing Day, seeing the sails go down the coast there. It's one of the world's great ocean races. Some boats have a crew of over 30 people. Now, they don't all do exactly the same thing, but they're all perfectly aligned towards the same goal of coming up the Derwent first. That's what our lives need to be like. Every part of our life working together for the same goal of obeying God's wisdom so that we grow in his wisdom. What have we learned today? Well, wisdom requires actions. We need not to just merely agree with him. We need to obey him. Secondly, actions reinforce our direction, whether it's evil or whether it's wisdom. As we choose to obey, we grow in wisdom. And thirdly, our direction involves every part of our lives. We need to obey wholeheartedly. But I can't quite stop there. Because every single one of us fails to consistently make good decisions. We fail to be wise in every area like that. And I don't want to leave us with a sense of guilt or hopelessness. We so fall so far short of that ideal. Our sinful nature drags us away from wisdom and away from Christ. Well, what do we do about it? Friends, we hold on to the gospel, knowing that Jesus gave his life for our sin and every failure to be wise. We need to keep turning back to Christ, trusting him to lead us on the path of righteousness. And remember that he's given us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to counsel us, to guide us, and strengthen us to obey until we see our Saviour and our Lord face to face. Amen.